Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our coming days study, we taught that during the tribulation, it is God's hope that the unsaved people will come to Him for salvation. Let's continue with that thought today. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it will be as the days of Noah. Things will be prosperous. Things are going on. Eating, drinking, giving in marriage, building. And it turns suddenly. Revelation 3:8 tells us that there's a door which no man can shut. When God opens a door, no man can shut it. Jesus states in John 10 that He is the door. If that day of rapture, that eventful day, if that were today, the question is would you be prepared? If you are saved, would you like to be more like Noah, or would you like to be more like Lot? In Luke 13:25, Jesus says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Perhaps there are people who are going to say, hey, this thing about the rapture, it was true. It was true. But it'll be too late then. It will just be too late. You see, this is even a 7-year tribulation. That's what it is. This is the 7-year tribulation. God is holding out, hoping that more people will exercise their free will to come to Him for their salvation. He does not work that way with Christians. And as He pours out this judgment on the earth, He's hoping that these unsaved people will see it and be saved. With Christians, it is different. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8 states, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou be rebuked of Him. So we see, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Wow, those are pretty strong words, aren't they? Tell them they're illegitimate. And so, they're not the partakers they could be. They're not what they should be. So much they could do, but it's not going to happen. Because they've exercised their free will not to do it. Without Christ, your destiny is the eternal lake of fire. Now, you can say you're a Christian. He just said here, if you're saved, the Lord chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So here He is chastening. He scourgeth. The word scourgeth there means to flog with a whip. Jesus spanks His children. Now, He says, if you're without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. In other words, He's saying you're illegitimate. You're not truly saved. The Lord spanks His own. Why? He chastens his own because it makes fruit unto holiness. You see, God works individually with each believer. Some he has to chasten, scourge, which means to flog with the whip. He is trying to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, his son. He does the work. Not an angel pouring out a vow. He does the work in the individual Christian's life. He is trying to purify his people, to conform them to his image. But the tribulation works collectively to judge the world and at the same time hope that sinners will truly repent. That is the heart of God, my friend. He wants you to repent. Now, there are some people who look at verse 9, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, and they say, well, that means God has not appointed us to go to hell, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So they say this second half of the verse is referring to our salvation from hell. Well, it sounds pretty good, but it does not fit within the context of chapter 4, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 11. You cannot make one verse and take it out of context, make it say, well, if I take this verse by itself, then it will support what I'm trying to believe. That's not the way you go about it, looking for a verse that supports what you believe. Because more than likely, you're going to mess up that verse. You are going to take it out of the wrong thing. So, he is an ambassador for Christ. Now then, we use the analogy of an ambassador here. That means that we are not citizens of earth, we are citizens of heaven as Christians. That is where our citizenship lies. When a country has an ambassador in another country, as we are ambassadors here to America as Christians, and you're an ambassador to your neighborhood, we have ambassadors from other countries that come to our countries, and we send our ambassadors to them. But as ambassadors, we find that we represent the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes, when a country has an ambassador in another country and this country is about to declare war on that country, what do? They call their ambassador home. They do not want their weaponry falling on their ambassadors. So the Lord will call his people home before he really pours out his wrath in the tribulation hour. Now, that is what God does before he pours out his wrath. He is going to call the ambassadors back to his home. Now, friend, I believe that he's getting ready to call us home, to call us home soon. Our destination is to meet him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now in verse 9, it used a Greek word for salvation, the same word that is used when speaking of the salvation of our soul. It basically has the meaning of deliverance. I'm delivered from the penalty of my sin, separation from God forever in the lake of fire when I receive Christ as my Savior. In salvation, we are delivered from hell. In this context of this passage, we are delivered from the wrath to come. But our deliverance is the same way as our salvation. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Thessalonica, there were people trying to mislead others about the rapture, the tribulation, and the return of Christ and the premillennial return. They are still doing that today. You see, the God of this world is all active and alive, and he's trying to change the word of God. Did you notice in verse 9 the phrase, God hath not appointed us? Look, the word appointed is like a commission for a soldier who does his commission carries out his commission. But where does that commission come from? Well, it's from God. It comes from God. We are not delivered to the earth when God is pouring out his wrath. Rather, we are delivered unto the presence of the Lord. That's what we're seeing here in this passage. Delivered unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when we have received him as our Lord and Savior in that day come. And my friend, we need a Savior. We cannot have a Savior if we don't let the man save us, whoever it is. I mean, we get saved, ask the Lord to save us. And yet, just like in a case here where somebody comes forward and there's somebody praying for him, then it's a good thing that he can meet with them and say, hey, I'll go with you. Hey, are you saved? And talk with them about these things and get information on them. I think that's a great thing. Now, again, we all need a Savior. We can't save ourselves as Americans, as simple human beings. We are a ready people, but also a needy people. Now, isn't it interesting that God says he is angry with the wicked every day in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11? I wonder, is God angry with this last generation of Christians? And therefore determines that we should face his wrath. No, I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for the rapture. If this lost and last generation of Christians are so wicked that he's going to allow us to go through the wrath, then that eliminates grace through faith. And it makes them only words. You are saved by grace. And your Christian life is by grace. His love means that he wants us with him and that he is better for it. But being with him for us is far better. Our determination to meet him in the clouds, our deliverance is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And our delight is seen here in verse 11 of our text, where he says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, to use common sense, how could those words comfort us if we knew that we are going to go through the tribulation or any part of it? It would not be a comfort to me. This passage is written to people who have received Christ as their Savior. It is a comfort for them. But if you are not saved, this passage is not comfort for you.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.